Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright
lights. With tonight's guest, we'll actress, director, and founder of Free the Nipple, Lena Esko.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guest, Kiyoshi. I am Mark Legere, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
You know, I am amazed at how much I get to learn about so many different things. You know, we say this is a show about everything, and here we go. This is just about as everything as you could get. And especially us being here, men, Mark and I, co-hosting this. And today we're going to be talking about something that I never thought we would talk about. Now, I have to say that growing up Italian-American, I knew that in Europe they had different laws about women and breasts and in certain beaches and all that stuff, breasts being exposed, et cetera, et cetera. So we'll get into that, I'm sure, in some way. But what was fascinating to me, the show hasn't even started, and already I'm learning from this young lady on our show who has put out a film. And so I haven't gotten to watch the film yet, but just in the trailer alone, there were gems. Like one thing that blew me away. So here we're talking about freeing the nipple. And of course, we're talking about women. But they bring out this statistic saying it was illegal for men to have their shirts off in New York and presumably the rest of the United States until 1937. I'm thinking 1937, that's not that long ago that men couldn't have their shirts off. And now we just take it for granted. And I'm thinking, you know, some people might say, well, this is a radical thing. Well, I'm sure there were people saying this is a radical thing, men wanting to be without their shirts in 1936. So this is an interesting time, and so excited to have this conversation happening here. And it made me think of something else. It's like, okay, so until 1937, men couldn't take off their shirts, at least in New York, and not be arrested, right? So, but it wasn't until 1920 that women actually got to vote. And I'm thinking, when was this country established? Was 1776 or something like that? And that's like almost 150 years, maybe 144 years to be exact. 144 years that women didn't get to vote. And it was considered a radical thing in probably 1918 and 19 for women to want to vote. I mean, think about this. This is ridiculous. So I'm watching just the trailer and a couple other things that our guest has done and some interviews that she's done, et cetera. And I'm thinking, you go. Teach us. Tell us what you know and share with us what the future. I didn't have trouble with nipple, but obviously I have trouble with the future. But the future is now. That's probably what I should be saying. Let us know what's coming up, because it's time. It's time to have all of these conversations. Let's talk about everything here on the Life Changes Show right after this, when we come back with Lena Esko, our guest, and a little later on, live music by Kiyoshi. All after this.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sharon Stone, and Alex Gray on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Or you can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark. Man, I'm excited.
I'm on the edge of my seat, yeah, for this episode. You know, I've been thinking about this all week. And then while you were talking, you know, thinking of those stats, thinking about what's going on the planet right, yeah, now from so many different perspectives And then it was conjuring up, I don't remember if it was the Flintstones or cartoons or caveman movies, but I was remembering the archetype of the caveman dragging the creator of life, these women, and the things that we've learned as kids at such a young age, and which has to change. And so I'm so excited for Lena to be here tonight.
Yeah. Well, it reminds me that a couple years ago we had a guest on that we talked about menopause. And I don't know why it's called menopause, but anyway, I learned that there was also a manopause thing. And it's like, here we are talking about something that I didn't know too much about, and I'm learning about something that I should know about, both on both sides. So I'm excited to learn so much more about all of this. I admit I'm fairly ignorant of this. I am glad to know that there's something called Free the Nipple. I want to know more. Our guest is a film and TV actress. She's a producer, she's a director, and an activist. She's the founder of Free the Nipple Campaign. There's so much more we could talk about. She's actually on TV on two different series. She's on Netflix, as is her film, Free the Nipple, and she has a film coming out. I mean, we can go on and on, but here we have her here. Lena Esko, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Oh, it's so great to finally, I mean, you're all over. You're working this. I mean, you're working your career, but you're working this campaign like crazy.
Mm-hmm. I have to.
You have to.
Yeah.
Why do you have to?
I think it was in 2010 where I just felt like I knew there was something inside calling me. I grew up acting, and I knew that I wanted to direct one day, but I knew that I wanted to direct something that was going to shift things or start a national conversation or a worldwide conversation about something that mattered to me, which was bringing gender equality to our world. Mm. And I don't think there was anything at the time that was, you know, young and fun and fresh and disruptive. And I literally just saw one day, like, women running around topless, challenging the censorship laws in America by going topless for equality. Mm. And that was like, that was the next debate, was like, how am I going to make that happen? And in 2010, I was talking to this French filmmaker, and she said, well, whenever you're done with the idea, I'm going to finance your film. And I thought she was kidding. And in 2011, I connected to one of my best friends, Hunter Richards, who's a screenwriter. And we literally sat down for about 9 months and we hashed out the script. And then I sent it over to the investor in France, and she loved it. And we were in pre-production by June of 2012 in New York City. And we raised $1 million to shoot the film.
You know, you, as an actress, are still taking roles, obviously, a lot of roles, and you direct and produce, you know, other people's stuff as well. But now you're using your talents, directing and producing something that you're in, but not only, I mean, this is so personal. It couldn't be more personal.
Well, I mean, I think it as a kid growing up, I think watching the interactions between my mom and my dad, I realized that my mom wasn't treated right. And my dad was really controlling, and my dad didn't let her talk, and it just felt, that's when the first time I think I didn't see equality into my parents, and that was something that bugged me. But doing this film, there was something in me that took over, and I knew I had to do it. I'd never directed in my life, but I've been on sets, I've been around directors, one of my best friends was a cinematographer. I just knew I had to do this. And again, this was at a time when no one was talking about women's rights. You know, we had a great movement in the 70s. We had a great movement in the 60s and the early 1900s. But there wasn't anything fresh and new where you included men and it was a more an inclusive, fun campaign. No one was doing that. You know, back in 2011, 2012, when I was talking about this, media wasn't covering the college rapes. Media wasn't covering, you know, the difference of how women and men are paid.
Oh, yes. The difference in pay. Sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
And the list
goes
on.
The wage inequality.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm a dyslexic. And the list continues. And now media covers it every single day. And at the time when I was starting Free the Nipple in 2010, 2011, no one was talking about this. Everyone said to me, you're going to do a film called Free the Nipple and you're going to be topless and you're going to, like, are you crazy? Everyone said no to me. Everyone was like, you're insane. Don't do this. And surely enough, when I finished shooting the film, after I went through a million things that could have happened, from getting arrested to to not having an ending, to not being able to shoot topless in New York City, even though it's been legal since 1992, I had nothing but holes on the script and nothing but holes.
Wait, it's legal, but it's you legal. Couldn't do it?
You couldn't do it when you were shooting, and I didn't know that. So when you get permits by the city to shoot, you have to have a cop on site. So when I yelled action, the cop came over to me and he goes, you need to tell your girls to cover up. And I was like, what are you talking about? It's legal since 1992. He goes, not when you're shooting, because it could seem like you're shooting porn to passerbys. And I was like, wait a minute. I have 18 more exteriors of topless women and you're telling me I can't do that? So I had to obey the law then. And these are the things I came up with in post, where I had to like blur it out and create this thing where you had, you had this thing where the audience, I try to say, I was like, maybe this is a sign that the audience needs to feel what censorship feels like. And then I ended up shooting the 15 exteriors left, and I didn't get permits, and I shot it. I run and gun it like I didn't have any permits, and I stole all the shots. I didn't listen to anyone, and I did it. There's no way I could have had a film if I would have listened to the state.
In a way, it's exactly what you're fighting. It's like the nipple isn't porn. So it's like you're actually living the exact thing that you're fighting. And actually the film, from what I understand and from what I'm seeing, from what I've heard from you, is so personal. Like the things that are happening are also really happening in your life, because you ran away at 15.
Yeah.
And does this have anything to do with it? Like, what the kind of relation?
No, I don't think I was like in tune with like, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to be an activist. But ever since I was a kid, any injustices that were happening, it literally made me so. I something would take over me. And
you were already listening to yourself clearly.
Yeah, I mean, it was like even seeing a homeless person in the street with a dog, I would break down and cry. Mm. Like I would cry. It bugged me so much. And so this Free the Nipple was my way of starting a national conversation that ended up being a much bigger conversation about gender equality. No one was talking about it. The nipple was just a Trojan horse to really get it going.
No pun intended. It's just the tip of the iceberg to everything else. That's
simple. If I hadn't made a movie and a movement called Equality and nobody was going topless, I wouldn't be talking to you right now.
Right. Nobody would pay as much attention.
No one.
Right.
And,
so it's brilliant.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, what does Miley Cyrus have to do with this?
Miley and I did a movie together in 2010. That was around the time where we were all on the set shooting in Detroit, and that's when I came up with the idea about it, and she was, like, loving it, and she was there. And then in 2013, when I finally started showing the film to distributors, they were like, yeah, it's a great film, it's unique, but there is no audience. And I was like, excuse my language, but F-U-C-K, I'm going to start a movement and I'm going to prove you wrong. And I did. So I reached out to Miley and I said, I need help. And she was like, right away, started tweeting and Instagramming. It went viral. And then I reached out to Lena Dunham. And the list goes on. And then it just kind of took off. And then by 2014, all the distribution companies started calling and I ended up selling the film to IFC and Netflix.
And so it's on Netflix now.
Yeah.
Was the person that said you didn't have an audience a guy by any chance?
No, they just, but they didn't say it in a bad way. They said, we don't know if there's an audience. We don't know if we can market this. And now, like, anyone would be like,
there.
Yeah. Right. And no one was doing this. There was no actual cool movement happening. Now you have all these other ones that people have started. But we were like the first original at the time making something disruptive and fun. It wasn't like, so that was amazing. And now to see where we're at, how media is constantly covering, like, let's say this actress just reported that her pictures were retouched. At least she spoke up about it. Mm. Or like this girl just found out that she wasn't getting paid, you know, the same as her counterpart, and she speaks up about it. Or a girl that just got raped in a college and now she speaks about it. So, and media is covering it as opposed to before they weren't. So that's something amazing that's happening. And young girls all over are starting their chapters of their own, Owning My Body Foundation or like, you know, Treat Me Equal Foundation or whatever you want to call it. So it's amazing to watch.
Congratulations.
That.
Yeah. More power to you. You know, Mark, your question is really well taken. Was it a man? And sadly, there are also a lot of women who don't understand the need for certain things. And I think it has something to do with the program that they've lived with all this time. And so when we come back, I really want to talk about that, to find out what women have stood in your way and why, and how you might have been able to help them as well. So we're still talking to Lena Esko, and can't wait to continue this conversation a little later on. Live music by Kiyoshi right after this on the Life Changer Show.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat,
My force is too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We're back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and our guest, Lena Esko, who's an actress, a director, a producer, an activist, and the founder of Free the Nipple campaign, hashtag Free the Nipple, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you just said something actually that blew me away during the break, something about if you had a mastectomy. Go on.
If you had a mastectomy, you're definitely allowed to put topless pictures on social media. The scars are okay, but the actual nipple isn't. The same thing if you were to put a male's nipple on it, that's okay.
If you just Photoshop a male's nipple over the nipple, okay.
Yeah.
Then it's okay.
You got to make sure it has hairs for social media to be like, oh, that's a man's nipple.
Oh, stop. Insanity. Wow. Yeah. All right, so before the break, we were talking about how I'm sure you've had many women say, "What are you doing and why?"
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'd be surprised the few times that I've gone publicly topless because we've tried to exercise our right mm-hmm. with a few friends. When the police comes, we always ask, "Who reported it or why are you here?" And they're like, "A mother did." Well, you know what? Mm. That's the problem right there. You know, you were just breastfeeding your child a year ago or 2 years ago. Why are you so upset about that? And they're like, why are you fighting for women's rights like that? Well, number one, I'm not fighting. I'm just here standing in Washington Square Park where it's legal. Why are you so angry? And they just lose it. They just lose it. Well, my child can't see this. And they just start. There's something about women, how catty they can become. Or they say, my husband is looking at you. Well, so what? Let him look. Like, why are you so, you know, threatened by it? Like, if you don't like it, look away. The same thing if you see a woman breastfeeding. If you don't like it, then look away. You can't shame them for something that's normal.
Programming.
It's you
indoctrination.
Can't. Huh?
Programming
yeah.
and indoctrination.
And then the difference between that and then having an interaction with a more evolved mother and a seven-year-old daughter, and she comes over to me, this is another time in Venice Beach, and she says, why is it that we can sell breasts, but we can't wear them?
Mm.
And that's really what it's come down to in America. We can sell them, we can objectify them, we can make money out of the exploitation of them. But, you know, the moment that we own it and we're topless in the most natural way ever, it's considered obscene. And that's another misconception. You know, being topless does not equal to nudity, just as much as if a man's topless. And that's a misconception. So if I'm topless, I am not nude. Nudity is showing your genitals.
Well, in the case I don't know how to define nudity in this case, but in the case of women's breasts, the nipples actually have a function, right? Where the man's nipples don't.
Yeah,
so
nurturing.
Some people can argue that. Yeah, yeah. Which is even worse. Like, yeah hello, nurturing.
They're not sexual organs. I'm sorry, if I look at a guy topless and he's really attractive and I see his chest, I'm like, that is a turn on. That is sexual to me. Mm. Whatever it is sexual to your eye, it's sexual. You can't stop a man from seeing a woman topless sexual. That's totally fine. And that's an argument that I had with a guy. I was like, well, if you're going to be topless, I can't stop looking at them. And I said, well, if I'm sitting here topless for 5 hours, at some point you're going to get tired. And he goes, you're right. And that's what's going on. It's the normalization process of it that's still going on. And that's what happened since 1937. You know, four men fought the law and it was passed. Obviously, the judge was a man. But before that, hundreds of men were tired of getting fined a dollar for not wearing the one-piece suit. So, you know, since then, Clark Gable in 1938-39, I think that's when he went topless. So it's been normalized since then. And now we look at men topless, we don't even think twice. But imagine if we were all covered up until yesterday and then it legalizes for men and then we see a man topless. We're going to be like, what?
Interesting.
Same thing, you know, like over 100 years ago, ankles were considered obscene. Now we look at, I mean, that's how I feel we're going to look back and look at breasts at some point.
There's a horrible, I mean, it's hard to look at. There's a picture I've seen before, probably on Facebook or the internet or something, of women on the beach. And there's like the beach patrol or something that's measuring the length of their,
I know.
It's a dress. I mean, it's like an evening gown is what they're wearing to the beach, right?
Yeah.
Like from their foot to the like top of their ankle or something. It's like, that's, wow. And so this could technically be like the same thing when we see these visions of women being arrested. Mm. At some point, we can look at that and say, wow.
It's ridiculous. It really is ridiculous. And it's just like the tipping point. Already.
There's something in your film, a woman says, why is violence okay, but my breasts are
yeah,
not.
You can see a child sees until the age of 18. Over 100,000 violent acts on television.
Wow.
But a nipple is wrong.
Wow.
Yeah.
Even in the commercials.
Yeah, in commercials. I mean, the amount of violence, that's okay.
Cartoons.
On Instagram, you can sell guns. On Facebook, you can show beheadings of women, but you can't show a nipple. I had a stick figure drawing that was made by a very famous graffiti artist, the London Police, and they did this little sketch of the face with a happy face and two circles. One little circle, which is a nipple, and one circles, drawing.
Yeah.
And they, at the beginning, 3-4 years ago, they shut it down. They shut it down, and they were censoring it, okay? And then you can show beheadings of women. And now they're fine because we've gotten so big that they don't mess with us in a way where they're not going to report us. But it was really bad then.
Wow.
And including, I mean, before 2014, it was illegal for women to post pictures on Facebook and Instagram of breastfeeding. And we helped change that. In 2014, we did a campaign called Everybody's Gotta Eat, a Free the Nipple campaign about everyone's gotta eat. And we released a really strong article with Soraya Shamily, who's one of the most powerful feminist writers here in the United States. And we wrote a letter to Facebook, and they literally backed off. And they made a statement, and now women are allowed, can't believe I'm saying that, pictures of, so they changed.
How great that you're saying that. Mm-hmm. You still did quotes in the air, though, so it's like still, there's still a lot more to do.
Oh, there's so much to do.
Yeah. You know, you started to touch on something, and I want to come back to it because I actually wrote it down. I really got so much out of this quote. It might have actually even been you who said it in the film. Censorship giants, have taken control of nudity and violence into our theaters. And our sensuality has been taken away from us and is essentially being sold back to us.
Yeah, definitely. That's exactly what's happened. They've taken it away from us completely, and now they're selling it back in increments through media, so through advertisement, through films, and that's what we're allowed to see. You know, we are a puritanical country. We still are acting like it. So that's a big issue here. The same thing what I said.
They've taken it away, and then they twist it up a little bit more
they
and
twist
sell it
up
back to us in pieces.
And they make sure, like, you can wear, like, a super crazy push-up bra, and your boobs are, like, boom, up here, and you can, like, the nipple is, like, about to come out, but that's okay. That's okay. That is completely okay.
in Los, I think it was.
There's
was it,
money behind.
Right, I was
hiding
gonna say,
the nipple
in Los Angeles. I think that there's a quote either in that film or something else that's tied to one of your websites, which I want to give, by the way, again, if we haven't, it's freethenipple.com. And there you could learn about the film. Of course, it's on Netflix, and about the cause, and so much more information that you never thought, probably never thought about. But in Los Angeles, it's like a billion-dollar industry. Did you all say that? Or California, the topless bars or something?
Yeah,
like
there's
that?
A lot of money. That was Liz Plank who interviewed me. And it's basically there's all this money in strip clubs and all this night stuff where it's okay to go see topless women.
But, and only topless, because a lot of those strip clubs are just, it's not nude, it's just topless.
Yeah.
But you pay.
You pay to that.
And that becomes like a sex thing then.
Commoditizes and objectifies.
Absolutely. The only place you can see images of topless women is in porn, you know, porn magazines, Playboy, you know, Penthouse, or strip clubs. That is okay. That's completely controlled in those environments. But the moment we want to be topless in a normal way and post pictures of being owning your body, and that's gotta get shut down. That's not okay.
So I saw a couple clips where the men are going, yeah, this is a great thing, and you watch them and it's kind of like they're because they want to be voyeurs. So it's different from the ones that you could tell that are saying it like, yeah, what's the big deal, let's all be free kind of thing. So what about that, the voyeuristic aspect of that?
The voyeuristic aspect
of men who want to see it. It's like, yeah.
Well, that's fine. I mean, that's part of the normalization of it. Like, we're going to have to go through that process of, like, you know, when it starts to happen. I'm not saying even if it gets legalized completely, do you honestly think women are going to run topless? No, it's about having the right. At the end of the day, it's just about having the right. You're going to have those rights. I want the same rights. 50-50. That's
freedom
really
to make
about
a choice.
Yeah. It's women are not going to run on topless. Yeah, maybe you'll see them more on a beach, but they're not going to go and walk around topless. That's not going to happen. It's about the fact that we don't have that right. And that just comes to that point. You're putting laws in my body, and now the government's trying to get up all the way inside our uteruses. I mean, that's what's happening. You know, we're about to go 100 years back because of Trump. So it's really scary right now, because I thought we were moving forward, but we're not. It's just getting worse, you know, and now we got to be held accountable for having an abortion. I mean, come on. It's ridiculous. It really is. You know, oh, well, you can't have an abortion if you have a baby for 8-9 months. No one's going to have an abortion if you have a baby that's 8 months inside your stomach. We're talking about other things. So it's a time where, you know, whether anyone, you know, it's terrible that Trump won. I don't know if they're supporters or whatever, but I'm just being honest. At the end of the day, what he's doing right now, which is great, is he's waking women up. He really is waking people up that never stood up for things, but he's highlighting all this stuff that we never thought.
That was the only way I was going to challenge you in saying that we're going backwards, is I think that the disruptive nature of this is that we're talking about things from this perspective, just like you started to say.
Absolutely.
I think there's good coming from.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, the greatest trick that the devil played on us was lead us to believe that it didn't exist. And the greatest trick that the GOP ever did on us is lead us to believe that there's no war on women. And that women have rights, okay? And that's the truth.
Interesting. You say, I think it's you in the film, first they ignore you, then they laugh at you, then they fight you, and then you win.
Gandhi.
So, right, you quoted Gandhi. So so there it is. What, you know, where do you think you are in this process? They're not ignoring you.
Yeah.
You know, they probably laughed at you. Are they in the fight? Are people in the fighting you mode? Is that where?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you win every day a little bit and you lose every day a little bit. And it's a back and forth thing. You know, there's days that are good days. There's days that are bad days. You know, you just got to continue moving forward.
And you're moving forward. Well,
yeah.
We're going to talk some more about the film, Free the Nipple, and actually the movement, the campaign with Lena Esko. And when we come back, also, we're going to have music by Kiyoshi here live in the studio on the Life Changes show after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Gary Zukav, and Kyle Cease, on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and at Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I am dumbfounded. I'm Filippo sitting here with Mark. Mark, are you?
It's just amazing that it's so broad and so deep, and that the battle is so almost endless.
It's change.
It is change.
People fight change. That's life changes, and here we are. Yeah. So I can't think of a better life changing conversation than this. So Lena, thank you so much, Lena Esko, for just plowing through this. I mean, you have like a. This is going to happen, and yet you're in the process where it's like, it's tough right now.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, it's not going to go anywhere anytime soon, but what it's doing, it's getting people together more than ever and kind of waking up and realizing, you know what? I would have conversations even a few years ago with other women, and they'd be like, really? No, we have rights. I was like, oh, really? Well, we don't have anything in our constitution that states that men and women are equal. Majority of the countries around the globe do have that. We don't have that. Did you know that? No, they don't know that. So that's the thing. It's about, and I think the biggest problems with, you know, movements, feminist movements in the past, that they've been not inclusive of men, and they've been pointing fingers of who's done what. And Free the Nipple has done the opposite.
That's
which has been everyone, like you know, from all the people in the team, has always been mixed, 50-50 men and women. We've always been like that from the beginning, and that's what it's been, like the crowd that we always attracted. And that's where it has to go. You know, this whole going backwards of who did what, like, that's not how I feel. Like, the people in my life, I feel equal. You know, I've never not felt it apart from watching the indifference between my mom and my dad. I'm lucky enough that in my bubble, I have great people around me. But if you look outside of the bubble, it's pretty bad out there.
You mentioned when the mothers would react, but was there a moment or a time when you really kind of realized, wow, I've opened this thing up? Was there like a hot point when you realized you're getting enough momentum that?
Yeah, there was that moment, I think, when it started kind of taking off in 2013, and I was like, oh my God, like I never thought it was, I thought it was going to be a spark, but I didn't think it was going to be this. Like it was going to still continue, and it continues. It just comes in waves now, you know, and every time you think it's kind of dead, that's when you just, something happens and you get like these hundreds of emails of like, I've been doing this for last year. I've been doing this. Can you please help me with this? Or, like, I just, you know, the stories just continue. So it's just great to see that it's a platform for everyone, you know, like I just kind of gave birth to it. It's not mine anymore. It's everyone's, really.
Nice. Well, I like the fact that you're starring in this and you're starring in that, and you're in this film and that film, whatever. And as your star rises in that industry, then this can rise along with it.
Totally.
So, and then you've also gotten a lot of people involved, a lot of supporters. I mean, am I got it right? Rihanna, and I mean, there's a list, like Liv Tyler. I mean, you've got people saying, hey, we gotta stand up and notice.
Yeah.
Or stand up and do something.
Yeah.
So there are other causes. Like you said, you were young and you'd see a homeless person or whatever, and you jumped on a big cause which touched a lot of hearts, and it came to us through the film The Cove. Can we talk about that?
Yeah, it was 2008, 2009, I saw an early cut of the film. And Fisher Stevens, who I know is a friend of mine, I said, I want to help. I want to get involved. This was an early cut. We didn't know if the film when it was going to be released. And he goes, yeah, like, let's see what happens. Let's see what happens. And about like 6 months later, he called me. He goes, yeah, like, I need some help. And I was like, okay, I can do something. So I ended up just doing a really strong PSA with all these celebrities about talking about this friend, you know, because the film had just come out and it was an incredible film, but people weren't watching it because there's some, you know, it's a little hard to watch. Oh yeah, at the end it's got some real slaughter moments of the dolphins and it's really hard to watch. So we did a PSA that was more inviting and more educational, and it went viral. And ever since then, I'm still involved. Rico Berry, who the film's about, he's become a good friend, and it continues. It hasn't stopped, you know, and it's really sad. I mean, the movie won an Academy Award in 2010, but in 2011, sorry, but it continues. It's not stopping.
You mean the killing of...
Oh, yeah. The 30,000-plus dolphins are being slaughtered every year, and the rest are being sold into aquariums all over, and it hasn't stopped. You know, you can't really infiltrate that much into the Japanese government, and they think it's okay. So, and this is in the south part of Japan, in Taiji. So, you know, we just have to continue. I mean, it's from September to April. It's, you know, every day I look. Was the cove blue or red today? It was red. You know, every day is a different, you know. Wow. Yesterday they took in, like, I don't know, like 18 dolphins.
Like,
they
literally
just,
yesterday.
They start hammering against the metal, and then they get them in, and then they, you know, it's awful because they talk about tradition. Well, tradition, it just started in 1969. What the hell are you talking about? So, they're eating our fish. No, they're not. Come on. Oh, we need to make, we need to feed our fishermen. We need to help them. Well, at the end of the day, if you have a child, I hope that you're not taking them to aquariums or zoos, because that is an archaic thing to do. It's part of the old system. You know, why is it so educational to see animals or dolphins and whales and bears and polar bears in a zoo in a confined space for educational purposes or entertainment? That is inhuman. That is so inhuman. So maybe I'll do alternative things, try to raise some more money or save some money to take them to a safari, or, you know, there's YouTube. You know, that's a great way to teach kids about animals. But taking them to parks, animal parks, come on. That is archaic.
There's so much high definition and technology and virtual reality. Yeah. And it's not like, you know, decades ago where maybe people didn't have the ability to get close to them. So I kind of understand the argument back then. But now it's
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's sad.
And there is movement, actually, in those directions. I think, you know, there are less parks or less animals that are in captivity in that way, maybe.
Because blackfish, when it came out about 2 years ago, like, the stocks and the, you know, the numbers went down in SeaWorld.
It affected the dollars.
Yeah, it affected the dollars, but it's still not, you know, it needs to be more where kids need to just be like, we need to stop this. Like, this is not okay.
And more people opening up sanctuaries where they can take in elephants.
Yeah,
and
Northern California has that too.
Well, actually, the circus,
Circus too. They stopped it.
They stopped the elephants completely. I thought, wow, like, that would have ever happened. Mm-hmm. Well, it did.
Yeah. Progress. I think people are so caught up with their lives sometimes, they just don't, like, sit back and be like, wait, is this okay? Or that, like, we're like robots. We're continuing to repeat these patterns, and it's like no one steps back and realizes, holy shit, I've been doing the same thing over and over, and no one stops to question. So it's the time to change these things, I guess.
Well said.
So, and this is what you're doing with Free the Nipple, because obviously it's not just about that. So let's, you know, obviously freethenipple.com, and that's where also you could learn about the film. You could see the trailer actually at lifechangesnetwork.com if you go to Lena Esko's page. But the film is on Netflix, but it's about so much more. So real quick, what are some of the other causes that you are standing or bringing forward through Free the Nipple?
Through Free the Nipple, we're about to launch a really big campaign. It's about getting the Equal Rights Amendment, the ERA, in our Constitution. It started in 1923 by Alice Paul. And it just states that if men have rights, women should have the same rights. It's really very simple. And she's been trying to get that to be the 28th Amendment in our Constitution since 1923. And she died in 77. And in 72, before she died, it passed by the Senate. And it didn't move any forward because after Ronald Reagan came into office, he smashed it. He said, well, the 14th Amendment equals that all peoples are equal. Well, it doesn't really protect women. So it was completely smashed. So my job is now to make sure that I get that amendment in the Constitution, because majority of the countries around the globe have something in our Constitution that states that men and women are equal. We don't have that. We don't have that. The Scalia, what's his name, the guy that just died, the Supreme Court judge, he said, if you know, I'm going by the Constitution, and I'm telling you right now.
Scalia, you mean?
Yeah. I'm telling you right now, there's nothing here that protects women. And if culture has changed, well, the amendment has to change. And by now, I have to obey the amendment. He said that. He said that, and women don't know that. Majority of women don't know that. Majority of men don't know that. So
he's no longer here, but that mentality you're saying is.
Yes.
And it's also not in the books.
Yes. There's a great documentary. It's out on iTunes. It's called Equal Means Equal. And it can go very into depth about the Equal Rights Amendment.
Wow.
Yeah.
You have some conviction.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I'm sitting here going, you go.
Fierce.
The
word I used.
This is awesome. Well, somewhere in the film it says you want to impact mass culture. And sounds like you've already made an impact, and it's just now how
we want real change now.
How much more?
Yeah.
No, it's got to change. We're going in the Constitution. Whatever it takes, 100 years, 5 years, it's going to go. It's going to go in there. Yeah.
And you're following along the steps of, like we mentioned, 1920, finally women got to vote, right? And you said in 27 or 23, this woman started.
1923, Alice Paul.
23.
Yeah, and before her was Susan B. Anthony, who, you know, started in the late 1800s. But her and Susan B. Anthony were all part of that. They were part of the suffragette, but, you know, Alice Paul was the one that created the amendment.
So her, Susan B. Anthony, many others, and Lena Esko. So thank you so much. We know you've been traveling, and it's so great to be able to actually be able to sit down and have you here. Thank you so much for being with us. Lena Esko. Well, as if that wasn't inspiring enough, we've got Kiyoshi with Causes of His Own here with his music live in the studio on the Life Changes Show right after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, lifechangesnetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
We are back. I'm Filippo, sitting here with Mark and our guest, Lena Esko. We're joined in the studio by Kiyoshi. Now, listen to this. It's going to sound familiar. A world premier inspirational vocalist. He has a deep passion for empowering humanity. Okay? What could be more perfect? He's known worldwide for his highly interactive, exhilarating, and authentic stage performances while he conveys a clear message of positivity, health, sustainability, social justice, and love. Welcome, Kiyoshi, to the show.
Thank you, thank you.
Excited. So, yes, it is. So we've been talking about causes. Yes. Let's talk about your causes. Obviously, your new one, Free the Nipple. Right?
Okay. I love Free the Nipple.
And the ones you had before you walked in here today.
Yes. So I'm all about, I'm definitely an advocate for Free the Nipple, equality, social justice. I've done some work with some of the Black Lives Matter movement in local San Diego. Also, I'm part of the Standing Rock movement, standing in solidarity with everybody in support for those sacred defenders. Actually went out there last month, so that's the one I'm really gung-ho for.
You know, this show is so right now, and so many people listen to our show not only live, but they listen to it weeks and months later. Wouldn't it be nice that by the time somebody listens to it months from now, mm-hmm. they could go, oh yeah, we're past that,
yeah.
and we're past that, and
right.
We're on to something else already, like it's been done.
Yeah.
So more power to all of us. So mm-hmm. So I'm looking at you and I say Kiyoshi.
Yeah.
Tell me about the name.
So Kiyoshi is a Japanese name. My mother named me. My mother is a Pacific Islander. Her adopted mother on the group of islands she was raised in was half Japanese. So basically my mom's adopted mother. And so my mom married a black dude, had some kids, decided to name us all Japanese names. So that's how I got the Kiyoshi.
Okay, and your name is special in particular. It means?
It means clear, quiet, intelligent, bright, shining bright.
Well, it sounds to me like she nailed it, except for the quiet.
Yeah.
Okay, you're not going to be quiet.
Not right now. I can be. But,
You can be. Okay, oh, very good. Well, speaking of not going to be quiet, what are we going to hear today?
Going to hear two of my awesome songs that I'm very proud of. One is called Get Up, and the other is called I Am Love.
Okay, so Get Up. I've heard this, but, mm-hmm. but share a little bit about what it is.
Yeah, it's an inspirational, uplifting song talking about a lot of the issues, the current issues we're facing, like some of the issues that, we just named. It's just really a powerful, uplifting song about the, really generally what we can do. It's posing the question, what we got to do to get up. So it's provoking thought and just kind of getting people riled up to make a change in the world.
Well, I'm all ready to get up. Get us up, Kiyoshi.
Let's
Here's
do it.
Kiyoshi with Get Up, live on the Life Changes show here at Studio NoHo.
Yeah. Kiyoshi. Live in effect. Being in peace and positivity around the globe. A lot of stuff going on, y'all. Sometimes I'm like, what we gotta do to get up? So many things that we gotta fix. Now the question is, what we gotta do to get up? I hope we can change, cause I wanna know what we gotta do to get up. It's like every day and night, now my head like, what we gotta do to get up? So get up, get up, get up, get up, get up, yo. Check it out. I know the problem. They not mentally there like folks in asylums. See, globally they suffering from post-trauma. So I'm bringing new traditions like Yogananda. Predicting like Nostradamus. Less war and conflict, more peace in the foreign politics. Why it ain't free to go to college? Why so many impoverished and prone to violence? I mean, so many cars we deal. Why they still wanna kill with the sawed-off steel? In the hood where they steady getting caught on film. Just wanna shine like Paul Walsh Grill and pay my bills. I just got laid off, now how I'm supposed to pay rent? Got a degree, but why's it so hard for me to make sense? Why we gotta pay so much money to gain money? Yo, they stay hungry, asking what we gotta do to get up. So many things that we gotta fix. Now the question is, what we gotta do to get up? I hope we can change, cause I wanna know what we gotta do to get up. Every day and night, now my hair like, what we gotta do to get up?
with a damn noose. Yeah, why these racial groups splitting like cashews? And why they shooting them from Ferguson to Jerusalem? Bullet wounds to they tune like food and aluminum. They grabbed up. Why they still shooting even when they hands up? Why don't more people stand up? It's like the riots in the 60s. Police dogs, bulletproof vests, and protests for innocent teens. But we so unaware of this love we share. We forget we bleed the same blood for these sons. And sending a ton of prayers, being the change that we wanna see. Free like a summer breeze, from our lungs a breathe love, one with peace. Yeah, high vibrations across the planet to have this divine inspiration. Something that you can't avoid. My revolutionaries make some noise. Say what we gotta do to get up. So many things that we gotta fix. Now the question is what we gotta do to get up. I hope we can change, cause I wanna know what we gotta do to get up. It's like every day and night, how my hair like. What we gotta do to get up. Let's get up, get up, get up, get up, get up, yo. Why don't we have free healthcare and education? Why not replace school detention with meditation? Why religions always gotta hate on gay couples? Why's it so hard for a lot of guys to hug and say I love you? Why do we spend more time on gadgets and reality shows than family time and impacting the globe? Why don't we see more love surrounding us? Why these ghetto families so malnourished? Why these third world bodies keep piling up? Government says it's God we trust, why's it so corrupt? Why not feed the whole world or get rid of welfare? Why they try to keep you from alternative healthcare? And why they giving Ritalin to teens and death chairs and the great women on TV so much? That ain't fair, yo. So many questions, not enough answers. That's why I'm out here asking what we gotta do to get up. So many things that we gotta fix. Now the question is what we gotta do to get up. I hope we can change, cause I wanna know what we gotta do to get up. Yeah, it's like every day and night, now my hair like. What we gotta do to get up. Let's get up, get up, get up, get up, get up. One more time, it's like, yeah. So many things that we gotta fix. Now the question is what we gotta do to get up. I hope we can change, cause I wanna know what we gotta do to get up. Every day and night, now my hair like. What we gotta do to get up. Let's get up, get up, get up, get up, get up, get up. Yeah, we gotta make that change, y'all. Gotta, yeah. Gotta make that change, y'all. Gotta get up.
Kiyoshi.
Yeah.
Nice. Man,
you got me all emotional with that. You know what? All of that stuff strung together, it's just like boom, boom, boom. I just, wow. Wow.
I love your voice.
Yeah, man. And the sincerity just comes through. And powerful, powerful stuff. KiyoshiMusic.com is where you could learn more about him and get his music and all that. It's also available at
iTunes,
yeah.
SoundCloud, Bandcamp.
Right.
All that.
Let me spell that. Kiyoshi is KiYoshi music.com. KiYoshi music.com. And no wonder it's been said about you, mind-blowing live shows, getting crowds dancing in ways never seen before.
Absolutely.
I mean, people are just probably like passionately like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They want this. They want inspiration. I mean, especially right now, like I was just telling her right here, like, you know, so many people been asking me, yo, how can we get your music out there to the masses? How can we support you? Because and that's what I want to do. I love doing this. I love seeing people get inspired, and it's fun, you know? So,
Yeah, man.
They get, yeah.
Lena, could you just see a song like that about the nipple, Free the Nipple?
That'd be great.
Get it out or
just
whatever
it
is, if whatever works. You all talk later. So, real quickly, you were inspired by your dad musically somehow. What was that about?
So my dad is a music teacher, or he just retired as of last year, but he's been a music teacher about 40 years.
Now, he didn't teach this, right?
No, he taught me, you know, about the, you know, just he introduced me to music. He's a music teacher, band director.
Wow.
I mean, playing guitar when I was a little boy. 8 years old, and just seeing his band play at an early age, you know, just the stage performance, all the different dynamics of performance and music, that definitely impacted me.
Yeah.
And then just growing up in the church too, seeing all the pastors and the people speak with so much passion, and the musicians in the church, and then eventually performing in the church, you know. So, yeah, but yeah, my dad was definitely a big part of that.
Yeah. Yeah, you got the passion, by the
way. Yeah,
man.
Thanks, man.
Just in case you're wondering.
Thank you, dude.
I've got to say that. What was the second song we were going to hear? Or what is it?
Yeah. Second song is called I Am Love. It's a positive affirmation off my affirmation EP.
Okay. So, in other words, you got me emotional, and now you're going to make me cry. Is that it? All right. So,
hey, let's do it.
Here's Kyoshi with I Am Love. Yeah. I Am Love live on the Life Changes show here at Studio NoHo.
Yeah, yeah.
Featuring Krista Richards, who couldn't be here tonight, but I'm a rocket light. Like, I can't help myself, but I'm feeling real good tonight. I don't need nobody else, 'cause I am so full of love, love, love. So get your hands up. I am so full of love, love, love. Now won't you stand up?
Yeah, come on.
I can't help myself, but I'm feeling real good tonight. I don't need nobody else,
hey,
'cause I am so full of love, love, love. So get your hands up. I am so full of love, love, love. Now won't you stand up?
Check. Yo, it's a universal language connecting us. Hands in the sky, better get them up. It's music in the air, disco and funk. Ladies and gents, dressed to impress, spread and love. And we dance the night away. Sweat dripping right on down your face. When I rock the stage like Nas and Jay, we celebrating like a holiday and we won't stop. So many different races, I'm loving the culture like Folgers. You can taste the aroma, but doesn't matter black or white. Can't deny the fact when we dance tonight, we all equal, fly like bald eagles. Breaking walls beyond all these false egos. Like Tupac and Negatoli, take it back like the best of oldies to the hook. Sing.
I can't help myself, but I'm feeling real good tonight.
Hey,
you don't need nobody else, 'cause I am so full of love, love, love. So get your hands up. I am so full of love, love, love. Now won't you stand up?
Yeah, and we gotta experience the realness. Swinging the hips like Elvis. Ha, honored and privileged. Feet stomping till we shake the building. Hey, in your subconscious, to get in like women in concerts. Melody sweet like Starburst, like soccer players that can't get. Writing lyrics like authors, 'cause y'all know the game. Do it for the love, not the fortune and fame. I came back just to motivate. Doing this till I turn all old and gray. Yeah, you see, I am peace. I got faith straight inside of me. On this head, not out of sea. Constantly we vibing, weave hands up, follow me. See,
I can't help myself, but I'm feeling real good tonight. I don't need nobody else, 'cause I am so full of love, love, love. So get your hands up. I am so full of love, love, love. Now won't you stand up?
One more time, say.
I can't help myself, but I'm feeling real good tonight. I don't need nobody else, 'cause I am so full of love, love, love. So get your hands up. I am so full of love, love, love. Now won't you stand up?
I'm gonna break it on down like,
if you want it, then you got it. If you want it, then baby, you got it. If you want it,
hey,
you got it.
Uh-huh.
If you want it, then baby, you got it. Oh, 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 oh.
Ah, yeah. It's that feel-good music, y'all. For your mind, body, and your soul. Man, break it down. Come on. It's the part where I get everybody dancing. We like it to the right, to the right. Then we like take it to the left. Oh yeah, to the chorus.
I can't help myself, but I'm feeling real good tonight. I don't need nobody else, 'cause I am so full of love, love, love. So get your hands up. I am so full of love, love, love. Now won't you stand up?
Come on.
I can't help myself, but I'm feeling real good tonight. I don't need nobody else, 'cause I am so full of love, love, love. So get your hands up. I am so full of love, love, love. Now won't you stand up?
Yeah, so full of love, so full of love, so full of love, love. Yeah, I am love, baby.
Kyoshi, yeah. I am love. Wow, man. Yeah, he's been featured on MTV, VH1, OK Player, URB, and Fuse TV, et cetera, et cetera. And now on the Life Changes show, and hopefully all over the place, because this is, man, this is it. This is, I mean, we were dancing in our seats.
Beautiful.
And
thank you.
Can't wait to join you at a live event. When's your next live event?
I'm working on...
Well, we can go to KiyoshiMusic.com.
There you go,
KiyoshiMusic.com. 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 So thank you so much for being here and bringing that love into this room, into this world.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate you guys having me. And also, Kiyoshi Music is all across the board on social media, except for Twitter. It's official Kiyoshi, but check me out, Instagram, Facebook, all that, Kiyoshi Music.
We'll check you out and look forward to seeing you all over the place spreading that love. Kiyoshi, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Appreciate
it. Lena Esko, what a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much. What a show. What a show. What a show. So with that, a big thank you here in our studio to Brent Hahn here at Studio NoHo for making us all sound so great. Big thank you to Don Newsom, our, what do we call him, program manager at BBS Radio. And on behalf of Dorothy Donahue, our executive producer, and Mark Fisher, our producer, I am Filippo Voltaggio. Go ahead, laugh at me. It's okay. I am full of love, and nothing's going to take me down.
Nothing.
I am full of passion. Thank you, Lena.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Kiyoshi. I am Filippo Voltaggio reminding you that as your life changes, like surely all of ours did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.